had the ummah to realize the significance of the month of Ramadan, they would have longed that the entire year be Ramadan. These occasions and opportunities come about, it's just the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, His grace and His love, His compassion for His servants. And He brings about the opportunity that you can score, can gain, can progress. Now there are two sides to it. The one side is acquiring in this Mubarak month, and this other side is then the preservation. Is acquiring, and without acquiring can you preserve? What are you going to preserve? So acquisition and preservation, both are important. And these gifts are such, they are exclusive to the mu'mineen, Muslims, exclusive gifts. The entire month, what happiness it brings, what love it brings. There was one pastor that came here some days ago. So he had accepted Islam, and two or three children of his had become Hafiz as well. So after accepting Islam, then they will compare what they were in and what Islam has got to offer. It's natural what we were and what we have got to enjoy with Islam. Like when a person has seen riches and wealth, he'll think about his past, what I was like, and how Allah blessed me now. He does the comparison. And sometimes this comparison is healthy to learn the lesson of gratitude. You don't do this, then you don't learn, you don't understand what it is to show gratitude. Where were you, and how Allah took you up. So this Allah Pak loves. You show gratitude, show appreciation, say it as well. Amongst your immediate ones, not in public. Sometimes you say it in public, then it can be converted into pride, arrogance, or self-admiration. But speak to yourself and understand the favors of Allah Ta'ala. So this pastor, his observation when he saw Christianity and then he saw Islam. So he says, in the Christian calendar, the most auspicious time is from Christmas, going on to New Year's, and ending up with Easter. But very strange that the most crimes are committed within this period. Stabbing, killing, murdering, accidents, boozing, smashing, bashing, wasting. Most of the crimes from this period, from Christmas, ending up with Easter. And in Islam, the most auspicious time starts off from Ramadan, right? Maybe a few days before Ramadan, Rajab, Shaban, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Shaban, big nights, all that, right? Starts off from then, say from Rajab, we went to Shaban, Ramadan. Immediately after Ramadan is Hajj, the days of Hajj commence from then. Then Shawwal, Zulqa'dah, Zilhijjah. It doesn't end there, then ends up in the 10th of Muharram. Now, can you see, for about 4 or 5 months. And he says, my observation is, the greatest acts of kindness, generosity, compassion, love, forgiveness, takes place from this Ramadan, from Rajab or Shaban, Ramadan, right until Muharram. Most good acts, people are giving out zakat, they're giving so much, and there's so much left over as well. So much they're giving, the fridges are overloaded with samosas and what. But you don't hear of any shortage in any home. just loaded and loaded. One thing just goes and it's recovered, replaced. So very seldom do we ponder and reflect over the favors of Allah, how much is given. A little bit you have come in, and then how Allah replenishes. A little bit you do, and how He discovers you up. And I suppose more so, that when He sees Al-Ana, خَفَّفَ اللَّهُ عَنْكُمْ وَعَلِمَ أَنَّ فِيكُمْ ضَعْفَ, Allah sees our weakness, and on account of the weakness, He spoils us even more. Sees now we're not as strong, enduring, forbearing and tolerant like the people of the past. So I do a little bit and I'll see you right. Do a little bit and I'll see you right. That's why the hadith comes. That you are, Sahaba Kiram are being addressed, you are in a time that if you leave out 1/10 of the obligations or the commandments, then it's enough for your ruin. And then there'll come a time if they do 1/10 of their duties and their works, it's enough for their salvation. But now that doesn't mean 1/10 of the farais. No. 1/10 of what you've been commanded doesn't mean the obligation. Otherwise, it will mean that when you keep 3 rozas, it's enough. Right? You can read 1 Jummah namaz in 10 weeks, is enough. So that's not the meaning. In all this, is very important to see what our elders said. Muhammad Sahib explains the hadith, what he says. He says, that level of piety that was in the Sahaba Kiram, the Tabi'in, that level of sincerity, devotion, khushu, humility that was in them, if that level of humility, that level of devotion, sincerity, if it has got 1/10 of that, that's enough for salvation. Not the actual obligation. Otherwise, Taraweeh namaz will be 2 rakats over. Right? Isn't it? One important point, right? To discuss. I thought of talking about something else, but now these things are in my mind. If I don't talk about it, then it will keep coming to get over it. So it's become like a fashion to post messages on the WhatsApp or whatever. Someone gets something, 1 line, 2 line, post it, send it viral. Sometimes they will post a hadith, sometimes verses of the Quran Sharif. But now, the hadith or the verses of the Quran Sharif are of 2 types. Right. One, it's straightforward advice. Right. Advice, admonition, a lesson to be taken. قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. It's a lesson, do it. So you don't need any extraordinary explanation to it. Right? We're talking of أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ أَلَّن نَجْمَعَ عِظَامًا. Man thinks that we cannot reassemble his structure. وَلَا قَادِرِينَ عَلَىٰ أَن نُسَوِّيَ بَنَانَا. We can put together, bring right again the very fingertips. So Allah's design is so accurate, so precise, so perfect. So this type of verses is alright, because it's just a lesson about Qiyamah, Jannah, Jahannam, impressing upon us magnitude, the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then there are verses and hadiths that relate to ahkam. So when it relate to ahkam, commandments, then that's a different level altogether. For that Allah says, رَدُّوهُ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ وَإِلَى أُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْهُمْ لَعَلِيمَهُ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَنْبِتُونَهُ مِنْهُمْ. Right. So these things must be referred to Rasul Pakistan and the people charged with authority. They will know how to bring it out, how to extract and how to investigate. They've got the tools, they've got the instruments. But all and sundry, everybody wants to do that. The more you do it, the more confusion you're going to bring. Right? Because everybody's level of understanding is not the same. And the ummah has to learn that everybody's level of understanding is not the same. That's why Rasulullah SAW had warned that what I'm afraid, 3-4 things. One is the world must be opened out to you, fatana fasuha, and then you compete with each other. So all the race is about the digits, what you've got, what I've got, just to turn digits. That's the whole race about. So that's one of the things that Rasulullah was afraid about. Lalfaqra akhsha alaykum. I'm not afraid about poverty, but I'm afraid about the world opening out for you. And then your main fikr is this. This becomes your main concern. And you can see it today. And if someone is spoken about in some da'wat or whatever, then they just talk about his status, his financial status. That's how they would rate him. You come for a proposal, so what you do, what's your work? What's the family background like? How strong are you? You look right, but I want to see the financial status as well. So the first thing that's on the card is what's the financial status. So that has become so important this day. So this was one of the concerns of Rasulullah. The second concern was that the Quran should be opened and all and sundry got access to the Quran. Man, woman, slave, male, female, educated, understanding, not understanding, and all have got access to the Quran. Means the deen, knowledge of deen, hadith and Quran, because the Quran can only be understood through the hadith. Can it be understood without the hadith? Can't. أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرِ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ. The Quran only says أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. But how many rakats in Asr namaz? What to be recited in the first rakat, what should be done in the ruku, what should be recited in the sajda, what's supposed to be recited. The Quran Sharif won't explain to you, that the hadith will come and explain. So now everybody's got access to these books, and I'm just like pulling out some hadith, something, and I'm splashing it out. Then I ask you, everybody's got access, everybody splashes out, will they give a direction or will it create a confusion? Confusion, obviously. And then nobody is in the mindset to think, alright, what is the right line? Am I referring to some alim? Ask him properly, exactly. Take the direction from him. Am I doing that? Then some masail will change with time as well. This is the time, and this is the command, and with time it will change. So though it may be proven in the hadith, in the sunnah, it may be there, but it's changed now with time, the situation. Right? I look at it. One person asked Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi that there was an occasion where Rasulullah SAW urinated standing. So that's a sunnat. He did it. Ata subatata qawmin fabala qa'iman. So now, Mustafa, now what do you have to say about it? So Mustafa's mind was like faster than a computer. This is a general application for all times and for all people. Then tell me how women will do it. One short, please. So now this one short answers are required. Because everybody thinks that now I can apply it, I know it, I don't need to refer to anybody, I can do it straight away, I'm send it viral for on hadith. Well, these experts in hadith, they have taken the time to go and understand the hadith, what was the occasion, why it was done, and is it permissible now, not permissible now. So all that requires a lengthy discussion. So the hadith is right. But now the reason why he had relieved himself in that way was there was no suitable place for that. Place was not suitable because it was a rocky terrain, and there was the fear that the splashes may come back. So he had to do that just to avoid that. The second explanation they give is that he had some ailment, some pain. And when you've got a serious pain, then for you to sit down and crouch, is it easy? So now, without the explanation, you just say this was a sunnah, so now practice it. So now, do you create a confusion in the minds of people or not? Now, you don't know the circumstance, and I say with time, the commands can change as well. See, there's a hadith now, it says, Khaliful Yahud sallu fi ni'alikum. Go against the Yahud and perform namaz in your shoes. It's a straight, clear hadith. Abu Dawud says, Khaliful Yahud sallu fi ni'alikum. Now, can you give this hadith on a mimbar on a Friday? And when Imam Sahib comes in, he quotes the hadith. He came in to give the Jummah khutbah to the shoes on a Friday. He said, my shoes are parked. Will they allow him to continue? He says, this hadith I got. What are you going to do? So now, those that were experts in the hadith, in that science, they have given an explanation. This was applicable at that time, but now the Jews have changed the whole style. Now the style is that they perform namaz with their shoes. So now, performing the namaz without the shoe, that will be the sunnah. See that? Now, all this, do they require explanations or not? They generally require an explanation. Now you just got one piece of information and you're spilling it out, and then creating a confusion, is that what the ummah deserves? Okay, so many a time I have to remind people, please, now just leave this aside. All these things require lengthy discussions. Leave it to those who have gone through it, who've got the experience, the know-how, they have the understanding. They will do a good job. And when it is in accordance to this verse, لَوَرَدُّهُ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ وَإِلَى أُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْهُمْ, those that are charged with authority. That means they have got the tools to investigate, to verify, to see, and to reconcile. They've got all the understanding. Then the right thing is just referred to them. Otherwise, everybody got everything, or everybody got some level of Arabic, some level of translation, and you're just going to apply it across the board. Natija kya hota hai? What happens after that? But the in thing now is women coming to the masjid, right? One will start off with the second one. And how they say, you know, how nice we feel, spiritually motivated. How nice we said, you know, we said for etikaf, the best thing we did. What's the dalil for that? Spiritual motivation. So I say, you want to have motivation, go to a rock concert and see, you can jump. You won't only feel motivated, but you'll jump with motivation. So then that also should be permissible then. If this is permissible, then why isn't this permissible? So now this discussion is at a different level. Understand it's a different level. And when the ulama have discussed it, they've discussed it at length. All the four imams, they apply four conditions for women to come out in the masjid. Now, the hadith is clear. La tamna'u ima Allah, masajid Allah. Don't stop them from coming to the masjid. But one woman had to come to the masjid, I would shoot the whole double. Did it happen or not? feared. When there is some deficiency, this will happen. But they don't know how to apply the hadith. When they don't know how to apply the hadith, and they take it in their own hands, obviously it's going to create a confusion. So now, these ulama-i kiram, these imams, they weren't playing marbles here. They went at length now, they went and seen all the hadith, and what was the common factor there? They saw now, they saw there were four common factors. One is adam al-tazayyun. Women are coming out from their homes, and they're coming out not in an attractive attire. وَلْيَخْرُجْنَ وَهُنَّ تَفِيلَاتِ. They used to come out when, how they used to come out? They used to come out untidily. And the only place I saw women, they're walking, you know, from one house to the other house, and they're coming untidily, I saw that in Deoband. There may be other places, but you know, you keep it a second glance. The cloth is totally creased, unpressed, you know, the color is off color, so you don't want to give it a second glance. So that's the meaning of the hadith. That they're coming out in such a way that you don't want to give that a second glance. And now you compare it with this day, leave alone their attire, look at the cars that they are driving. Are they attractive or not? Forget the attire, the car itself, is it attractive or not? I don't drive, so my friends drive me around, you know. I know several occasions. So the friend is looking at the registration and says, Assalamu alaikum, hey, astaghfirullah. What happened now? Well, I saw his wife. And impulsively I just did this. Now I realized that I'm not supposed to be doing this. What my friend will think of me? See. So you see the extent that they'd gone to make you understand the hadith in context, what they did. So all the hadith is got that they must come out while yakhrujna wa hunna tafilat. Now I ask you this question repeatedly. If all the mujahideen of South Africa, right, all of them together, right, whoever, they try and prevent the woman from coming to the masjid, can they stop it? Can they stop it? So then when they can't stop it, then accept defeat that I can't stop it, I don't have the strength. And the woman have to also accept that we're not allowed to come. Because they aren't that level of mujahideen that are geared to come and stop us. So when they aren't there to stop us, then what's going to happen? It's going to be an open door permit. Just come in as you want. Nobody to stop. See, a lot of things are happening now, and they don't give it a thought, they don't understand. Now, a common question is, why can't we do jihad? Random. And then, it's not just ordinary people, even professional people, when they're going to be a khalifa. So now, step by step, you have to explain the whole thing to them. Say, alright, today we appointed you as the khalifa, right? You became the khalifa. I'm showing them in stages of how it works. Because they don't want to learn. Just here, one piece here, one piece that side, one piece that side, and they want to go with it. Now I'm talking about real things, right? And tomorrow there is a protest march from the woman, right? Like it happened in Pakistan some 2-3 years ago. Hamara jism, hamari azadi. Our bodies, we have got all the right to do what we want. So can you go and stop that protest? We'll boom bang them. I say, you're going to boom bang them. It won't be surprising, the wives of the armies will be protesting. You know, you've got an Islamic army, your soldiers' wives will be protesting in that march. What are you going to do now? Now, is it a reality or not? So, on the one end, what is needed is to create people, to make people to accept the Sharia. And one is then to strive to bring about a khilafat. Now if it's just one-sided effort and you didn't make the other side effort I say, will there be an imbalance or not in the community? Will there be an imbalance? Right. Then again now, I showed you at one level, right? Nearly every Muslim country encourages sports and entertainment, right? Every. I ask you, what level of vice doesn't take place at an international level of sports? Can you show me any vice that is not present, not found at a professional level? Can you show me? Now, if they go and try and stop all that vice that takes place at a professional level, can they ever be licensed and allowed to participate in the sport? Now, can you stop that? The whole Arab world will come out against you. The whole Arab world will come out against you. So what the Khalifa is going to do? He's going to be under duress, under pressure. I ask you, that will they be under duress or not? Right? You bring the law, all right? Woman, قَرْنَ فِي بِيُوتِكُمْ, stay in your home. Don't go out for education, right? Now, the whole world will apply some type of pressure against you, right? That we won't trade with you. Because women don't have the freedom. When they don't have the freedom, we're not going to trade with you. What's going to happen? See? Then this is the door for the freedom of thought, freedom of behavior, freedom of every type of immorality after that. But it starts off from this point. So now, you are saying, no, let's go slowly, right? Now the Khalifa now, then what is his work then? Does he have a work? Is his work now going to be encouraging sports, encouraging women to go to schools, universities, etc., where the stats are showing that from 100 women that are going, stats I'm showing, official stats, 90% of the women go through an experience before they can qualify. So you sacrifice 90 women to get about 2-3 women qualified. I ask you, is that making business sense? You're wasting 90 rands to gain 3 rands. Is that making sense? Is it business sense? So now that's why the first condition they applied is Adam Uttasayyum. So if there's one effort made to strive for a Khalifa, then there must be a parallel effort made to strive to that people must learn to accept the law of the Sharia wholeheartedly. They're not there to wholeheartedly accept the law of the Sharia. Then I ask you, what is the job of the Khalifa? No, have a Khalifa. Straight they say, have a Khalifa. But I think I'm inundated with calls, emails, have a Khalifa. But they don't understand now what's the procedure. Right. Now you want to appoint a Khalifa. Now you got about 35-40 Muslim countries, right? And now then you have to go through a voting process as to who is going to be appointed. Because everybody will say, Qatar will say, I'm the most suitable candidate. Bahrain will say, I'm the most suitable candidate. So how do you resolve the whole issue? You have to go through a voting process. Now is that voting process, is it Islamic, conforming to the Sharia? But you see the complications that are there. So one effort is to strive to bring about the Khalifa. One effort is to strive to make people accept the Sharia. So when the Khalifa is there, and the Khalifa says, Ala qad hurrima al-khamr, right? That wine is banned, right? Then they must have that heart and that mind and that resolve that if that wine is by the mouth, they just drop that bottle there. If it's in the casket, they're going to bust everything. Right? Do they have that at that level? You've got Muslim countries, you've got non-Muslim countries. And I ask you, right, in every country nowadays, you've got a rehab. What is the success, what rate of relapse do you find? I was asking some people from the rehab, right, professional, one of South Africa's best rehabs. somewhere this side, the coast, you know. So you ask one person from there, who's in charge, what is the level of a relapse? So 99.5%. 99.5% is the relapse. Now you want to say now that drugs, wine is haram, right? Can you apply that thing? Can you apply it? All these people will come up against you. So you need to make an effort for this, you need to make an effort for this as well. Otherwise, how are you going to run the Khilafat? So this, that science of Hadith, I was looking in the Kitab, there's about 100 sciences that are connected just to the science of Hadith. Riwayatul Hadith, Dirayatul Hadith, Usul Hadith, Fiqhul Hadith, Sira. It's about 100 sciences that are connected. Jarh Ta'dil, Rijal, right? Now, we didn't study anything. This one on translation, came on pamphlet, saw in the masjid, picked it up, saying it viral. People are not accepting Islam, they're not accepting all kafirs, finish. Boom, bang, all kafirs. I ask you, is that the style to work? Understand. So there is the hadith, لا تمنعوا إماء الله, right? But then when these people studied the entire science of hadith, then what did they come up with? Is they came up with 4 requirements for women to go to the masjid. One is adam atazayyun, as just explained, right? That they mustn't be adorned. I said, forget them being adorned, the cars are adorned. You look at the car, who's yeah. Like you say, Malboos itna pyara hai, to labis ka kya hal hoga? You know, you make qiyas, right? Yeah. If the abaya is so smart, what must be the person that's wearing the abaya like? Yeah. She's walking like that, she wore the abaya, that is so smart, and the person that's wearing that, what must be the condition of that person? I ask you, does a man's mind work in that way or not? Can you tell me it doesn't work? Just that tic-tac of a walking, that can strike something in the heart, strike a chord. You ask me, I'll tell you. You come and tell me all these things. All these stories, you see, because I'm sitting in the office, where he learns all these things. People come and complain all these things. They come and tell you what's going on. Just that tic-tac, you know, shoes now. She's walking, and that strikes your heart, strikes your heart. So the first thing they said is Adamut Tazayyun. The second requirement, why I'm saying these things here, is because it's become like a fashion. Just take the hadith, send it out. Take the hadith, send it out. I said there's 2 types of hadith. One is just the fazilat. You do this, you get the sawab. I send it out. You perform namaz with miswak, the namaz will be escalated 70-fold, right? And you send it out. Of course, it doesn't require any elaborate explanation. Qiyamah and the severity of the day of Qiyamah, it doesn't require any lengthy elaboration. But when it comes to obligations and duties, then that needs to be explained. لَعَلِمَهُ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَنْبِتُونَهُمْ. The one that's got the rights, got the tools, to be able to investigate, to see the whole thing, the whole picture, he will see it right. Otherwise now, apply that. Let's look at one hadith, لا تمنعوا إماء الله, as a mortal kind. You see now what happens. There's a reported case, I won't say where. Let your mind not go to Musgrave now, please, because someone said, I'll see Musgrave. Okay. Somewhere, not Musgrave, but somewhere it happened. But there was a reported case came before me that they committed zina right in the masjid, because that was the most convenient spot they found, quiet spot, nobody around, and they went and committed. Now, can you control that? In this age and time, can you control these things? You can't control it, then don't talk about it. Where you've got all the tools to control, you've got the government, you've got the means, you've got the legal support to control it. That's a different thing. But you don't have the legal might, you don't have the government with you, you don't have the state with you, and you want to push this thing here. It's a one-sided thing. The second condition that they put up is adamut-ta'attur. Adamut-tatayyub, ya adamut-tata'attur. That she mustn't be wearing any type of a scent. But tell me one woman that goes out of the house not scented. You can find 95%, 97%. You walk on the street, and after that that trail you get some scent coming up. You definitely get a scent. You have to close your nose, like how to, you have to close your ears when you hear music. You have to close your nose now. You will get that smell coming up. Now that's the condition that these fuqaha, four imams have put this condition. The second is adamut tatayyu. Now they're going out to the masjid. I ask you, are they committing a sin or is it an act of virtue? When all these imams are in agreement and you are going against them, I ask you, you are committing a sin or you are doing an act of virtue? Ask yourself. You know this you say fiqh, right? Jurist, right? Juristic. These arguments are very fine. Very, very fine. And it's not for the normal person. It's not at his reach to be able to understand it. One professional person came around, very, very highly qualified. So he tells me, but isn't it that everything that is haram must be stated clearly in the Quran Sharif? Every haram must be stated clearly in the Quran Sharif. I said, is that a claim or is a confirmed report? So that's what I heard. You don't go by hearsay. If you say so, then I will ask you, is there any clear verse in the Quran Sharif that says that drinking the urine is haram? Any clear verse? Leave that urine. Number two, any clear verse in the Quran Sharif that says eating number two is haram? So from tomorrow I say, so and so doctor specialist said that this is haram, this is halal. Why? Because it's not stated in the Quran Sharif. Deha, teri akal mari gayi bhai. Is there any verse in the Quran Sharif that states that the woman's clothing, right, it must cover her entire body plus her shin bone? Is there any clear verse showing? They talk about a jilbab, an outer covering, but anything to cover the shin bone. So then that's also permissible. Now she can expose this. Nothing about the thighs as well. That means she can dress up with a bikini or the whatever and move out. No clear verse. Just about a jilbab. Jilbab means an outer covering. An outer covering, everybody can explain according to his own understanding. But there is no single verse. So now, he's going to perform namaz with a bikini then. But you see now, the fallacy of these people who want to take the whole law into their own hands. And where this is coming from is pride, arrogance. So I feel that I'm a doctor or I'm a specialist, so I've got the right to go and understand the Quran Sharif directly without any assistance. That's where it's coming from. That I'm so and so, qualified. Yes, you're qualified, but you just stick to your line. You're a dentist, does this remain there? Don't go and talk about things on an optician. An optician, then don't talk about a cardiologist. That's his line, he studied the thing, he knows the ups and the downs. So you leave this to him. See the second condition, adamut tatayyub, right? It mustn't apply anything. I ask you again, repeating this question, if a woman is dressed up and she is dolled up and she's got that perfume, right? Any man got the right to go and stop that woman from the masjid? Have you got the strength? She'll tell you to the law straight away. It's my right. It's my right. You can't stop me. When you can't stop me, then I'm taking you to the cleaners. Why are you stopping me from my legal rights? You know, it's my democratic right. They've got a lot of big words to say. Democratic right. Democracy. And according to democracy, I am allowed. So what are you going to do now? See this fuqaha, this experts in hadith, what lens they went to. They were not cutting grass, right? So it's our good fortune that we just follow them. Because they did all the homework, all the homework. After all, in medicine do we try and speculate in the medication, you know? Why do they recommend penicillin and not Panadol? I'm a seen our student Panadol. What is there? How it's made up? Do you take all the pains to do that? You don't do all that. Because there is a tradition that for this type of an ailment, if you take this type of medication, it proves right. There's a tradition. But each person has gone, taken the pains to go and investigate the whole process. There we just take it. Andhitakli, blindfolding. Don't we do it? If you talk on this line, I say, Murana only knows how to make everybody kafir and fajir. Don't you hear this thing here? Now, just use your brains, right? Use your brains, use your understanding. There is a corpse lying there, right? Someone died just now. What will be the first thing? You call a doctor to give a death certificate, right? He does an examination, and according to his examination, say this person is dead, he gives a death certificate. So the doctor does this now, he gives death certificates. So, will you say from this point that your doctor sahab sabko maar deta hai, and he kills everybody? Do you say that? You won't say that. Doctor sahab will say, according to his experience, his learning, these are the symptoms and the signs that that person is dead. So exactly the same, the Mawlana would do the same thing, but he is not making the person a kafir or a fajir. From the signs and the symptoms that appear before him, he is duty bound, he is constrained to say that this is a kafir, this is a fajir. Isn't he duty bound? I ask you, is he duty bound or not? Is duty bound to say, see the verse, فَمَا لَكُمْ فِي الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي أَثَيْنِ, right? Look at this verse, right? Why? What's the matter? Why are you people divided with regards to the munafiq? You divide into two groups. One group is saying that they are kafirs. And the other group is saying, no, don't be judgmental about them, right? Now look at the what was the reason for the revelation of this verse, right? No. As I'm saying, we're not looking at all these things here. One line we got it, going with it. One line we got, and we're moving with it, right? The reason for the revelation is, some people had come into Medina Munawara, right? And they showed that they were Muslims. They just displayed the Islam only, that's all. And under some false pretexts, they went and excused themselves before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Rasulullah, the climatic conditions in Medina Munawara are not agreeable to us, so allow us to leave. So Rasulullah allowed them to leave. But the command at that time was that if you accept Islam in Makkah Mukarrama, then a condition for the validity of your Islam was you have to move away to Medina Munawara. Living in Makkah Mukarrama, but you're being persecuted, harassed for your Islam. Right? So then the condition for the validity of your Islam was that come away to Medina Munawara. Right? Now this is what they did. First they said that the climatic conditions are not agreeable, so they moved out. From there, somehow, they made their way back to Makkah Mukarrama. And they're living happily that side. So now, one group of Sahaba Ikram said, these people have turned apostate. Because they're not allowed to go back. They're supposed to be living in Medina Munawara. And why did they get out of Medina, go back to the Kuffar, befriend them? Why? One group said that. Another group said, we're not supposed to be judgmental. They may have some reason why they had gone. And upon this now, the verse of the Quran has revealed, why are you people split with regards to these munafiqeen? And it is Allah Ta'ala, Allahu arkasahum bima kasabu. Allah Ta'ala has turned them back because of their wrongs. Because of their wrongs that they have perpetrated, Allah Ta'ala has turned them back. Now, look at what the ulama-i kiram say. So see, you have to see this thing by please, I say, I beg you all, don't. Ramadan, I spoke about Sunan Adiyah, right? But it's not everybody's cup of tea to do all these things. Go and see properly what it is. Otherwise now, I ask you, that what will stop the person from saying, Sunan Adiyah was the woman is to come to the masjid. So is there any way you can disprove them? You will have to look into the writings of the fuqa. What did they do? Their practice, their writings. You will have to study the thing properly and then see what they have done. So the Lamai Kiram write under this verse that as long as that kufr of the person was concealed, then we cannot be judgmental. What? It's concealed, we can't see. Nobody can see it. He's got kufr concealed within his heart. He is declaring his faith. Then we are constrained to call him a Muslim. Though he's got concealed kufr in him, but he is declaring his faith, then we are duty bound to say that he's a Muslim. But through his behavior and his action, his kufr has surfaced now. Now we are constrained to call the person a kafir. See that? Until it was concealed, can't say anything. But now that it's surfaced now, then can we call him a Muslim? Can't. And they cited a couple situations, right? See, Musaylamah al-Kazzab, right? He was calling the namaz, 5 times namaz, everything was doing, right? Azan, like Medina Munawara. But with the consensus of the Sahaba Kiram, he was declared a kafir, they made war against him, they killed him. Now, the question of judgmental, where does it apply? How does it feature? Calling the Azan, 5 times namaz is doing, right? Taking Rasulullah's name. So now, the question of judgmental, what is where does it appear? So as long as that kufr of his is concealed, we can't see it, then we are constrained to call him a Muslim. But the moment that disbelief of his has surfaced, now we are constrained to say that he is a disbeliever. Unfit. Same with fujur. Otherwise, what will be the meaning of وَنَخْلَعُ وَنَتْرُكُ مَنْ يَفْجُرُكُ. Person that is fajir, then we leave him out. Now what is a fajir? Whose sin is apparent. So I have to explain this to someone now. Sometimes you have to go and meet these people, you know, the dawah or something, and is clean shaven. So his sin is open now, and we have to meet the person. What do we do? So at that time, Allah Baqud had answered my mind. Then I asked him, what do you do in a gush mulaqat? What do you do in a gush mulaqat? I know, before I used to go a lot for gush, right? Now, I got some excuse not to go because of the madrasa, right? I supposed to be going, but now I can't do it like I used to do it before. But I mean, you're sitting going for gush now, that person is watching television, women, men, all mixed up, sitting and dining in one place. And you go for a gush mulaqat. Clean shaven, they're talking. Ghair mahram, they're talking together. Sitting around the table, watching television. At that time, can you tell them, Fajir, Fasiq, get out from here. Can you tell them? So, at a gush mulaqat, what you do? The gush mulaqat, they will tell you about 5 adabs. Make istighfar, make zikr, right? Put your gaze down. And you don't get consumed into him. Your da'wat must be so powerful that he must get consumed into you. He mustn't indoctrinate you. He mustn't brainwash you. You must brainwash him. So your eyes is down. You didn't go to enjoy that kufr of his or to support that wrong of his, to support and encourage that vice of his. You went there for what? To sell your product. Your product was to call him to the masjid, isn't it? And to get him out of that sin. Or you just say, we've got an important program after Isha Namaz, please you must attend. So that was just a pretext. So the idea was for him to leave the wrong. But we can't tell him in that words, we say him in other words, right? We're not saying, leave our television, leave all this here. Call him, say, life of the hereafter is very important. Death is a reality. We don't know when it will strike. Please come to the masjid, that'll be an important bayan. That's the khulasa of what they will say. Won't they say that? So your mulaqat with such people will be like a gush mulaqat. It's to attract the person to your product, you don't get attracted to his ways. Coming back now, there's two conditions I showed just now, right? I said this is an intricate thing, and I feel it's wrong, totally wrong, that everybody tries and apply it himself. Certain things, viral. Even if it's a new graduate, he is not matured enough to make this type of sweeping statements. He can't. It must be someone very mature, very, very mature, very understanding. And when there's that type of people that are going to be doing this work, then there's not going to be problems, confusions, and fights and disputes. But everybody's going to do everything, then it's going to be obviously there's going to be problems. The third condition that they lay out is Adamu Khawfil Fitna. What? There's no fear of fitna. The women are going to come out, and there's not going to be any fear of fitna. The Sahaba Kiram worked towards this thing here. Zubair radiallahu anhu is a Sahabi. Hawari fil Jannah, Zubair, he's my companion in Jannah, right? My personal companion. His wife knows about the hadith, La tamna'u ima Allah. But now, how is he going to tell her straight that don't go to masjid? He can't tell her because the hadith, he can't be confronting the hadith, right? She heard it directly. Now, it's a very sensitive thing, but he had to discourage her. So, how he discouraged her? So she's leaving for one of the night namaz, darkness, right? So all he did is his own wife, right? So he went quietly and touched her on the back. Straight away she took you and flying in the house again. So he asked her now, what happened now? So now the times have changed now. But he had to do it in a different way. Why? Because he mustn't openly challenge the words, the Mubarak words of Rasulullah, but he had to bring a stop to it. But he understands why. See. So nobody wants to listen. Today, koi apni baat chalana chahte hai. Har aadmi apni baat ko chalana chahte hai. Main hi sahi hu. Ijabu kulli di ra'im bi rasul. So even an average alim, we can't do these things. You must be very grounded, matured, understanding, so experienced, then you say these words, you won't have any problems. The last condition they say is, she mustn't be a shabba jamila. What? She mustn't be young jamila apa. She can be kabiha apa is alright. Kabiha, ajuza, old hag, about 85. She's walking with the autistic walking stick. She comes to the masjid, it's alright. I ask you, if these conditions are applied, will there be any fitna in the masjid? 85 years old auntie is coming to the masjid, hagging, somehow or the other. Will there be any fitna? No fitna. But now you see an unrestricted entry. Then is there going to be fitna or not? And have you now disregarded the statements of the fuqaha? The confusion or the complication that you bring about. Allah barakatuh fi sabilillah.